Scene wise critical summary. Introduction. Eugene O'Neill's The Hairy Ape consists of 8 scenes. The first 2 scenes are introductory in the sense that they introduce the characters and their situation. Scene 3 introduces the conflict, the clash between Yank and Mildred on the one hand, and between labor and capital on the other. Scene 4 shows its reaction on Yank and his revolt against the system. Scene 5 shows its execution resulting in Yank's arrest. Scene 6 is prison scene. Scene 7 shows its rejection by IWW. The last scene ends his life. Scene 1. The opening scene brings to light Yank's sense of belonging to the world of steel and power. The scene opens in the fireman's forecastle of a transatlantic liner an hour after sailing from New York. There are narrow benches of steel on all sides. The room is crowded with men shouting, cursing, laughing and singing. The confused noise gives impression as if beasts in a cage were roaring. Nearly all the men are drunk. Many bottles are passed from hand to hand. All the dressed in rough trousers and heavy ugly shoes. Most of them are stripped to the waist. It seems they are imprisoned by white steel. The ceiling is low enough to touch the men's heads. They can't stand upright. All the time, they have to work in stooping posture. By shoveling coal in this posture, they suffer from all development of back and shoulder muscles. They look like prehistoric men. All the hairy-chested with long strong arms but small angry eyes. In color of hair, skin, eyes, all these men are alike. The hero of the play, Yank, is a fireman who works in the stock hold of an ocean liner. He is a strong man solely devoted to his duty. He seems broader, fiercer, more truculent, more powerful, more sure of himself than the rest. They respect his superior strength, the grudging respect of fear. Then, too, he represents to them a self-expression, the very last word in what they are, their most highly developed individual. Here it can be marked that a comprehensive picture of Yank's personality is drawn. He looks broader than the rest of stalkers, who too are very strong-bodied people. Yank is more quarrelsome and aggressive than others. He is more strong and self-confident than others. These qualities make him superior to other stalkers. They fear him and pay respect. He has become their representative and enjoys himself in this authority. The scene opens with voices that indicate that the strokers are busy in drinking heavily. The implied suggestion is that people working in odd circumstances fall a victim to intoxications. Voices. Give me drink, dear, dare you, ave a wet salute. Gesundheit, G-E-S-U-N-D-H-E-I-T. Cole, drunk as a lord, God stiffen you, here's how, luck. Pass back that bottle, damn you, pouring it down his neck. Oh, froggy, where the devil have you been? Tonight. She who's the best man. Bloody Dutchman, tonight on the forward square. I'll bet on Dutchie. He pecka da wallop, I tell you. Shut up, whoop. No fighting, Matties. We are all chums, ain't we? A voice starts bawling a song. Beer, beer, glorious beer. Feel yourself right up to here. Yank takes notice of the uproar. Using his authority, he asks them to keep quiet. He rejects the idea of taking beer and remarks the light drinks suit girls instead of a strong man like him. He demands a hard drink. So many bottles are offered. He tastes all of them and keeps one with himself and asks the owner of the bottle to leave it for him. Yank again turns to people. Seeing his face, all become silent. Voices are heard again. Voices, we must be passing the hook. She is beginning to roll to it. 6 days in hell, and then Southampton. Why, Jesus, I wish somebody take my first batch for me. Getting seasick, squarehead. Drink up and forget it. What's in your bottle? Gin. Dots nigger drink. Absinthe. It's doped. I'll go off your chump, froggy. Coach on. Whiskey, that's the ticket. Where's the paddy? Going asleep. Paddy is remembered for his whiskey song. He is an Irish old drunkard who takes interest only in speaking and dreaming of his past peaceful days. His face is extremely money-like. His eyes are full of pathos. He blinks and says that he is never too drunk to sing. He starts to sing in a thin nasal sad tone. Oh, whiskey is the life of man. Whiskey, oh Johnny, they all join in on this. Oh, whiskey is the life of man. Whiskey for my Johnny, again chorus. Oh, whiskey drove my old man mad. Whiskey, oh Johnny, oh whiskey drove my old man mad. Whiskey for my Johnny. It is all by chance that Yank is thinking about something. So he gets disturbed by the voice. He asks not to make a noise. All begin to mock at him for thinking is not expected for Yank. Voices, don't be cracking your head with you, Yank. You get headache, Pai Yungo. One thing about it rhymes with drink. Ha ha ha. Drink, don't think. Drink, don't think. All begin to sing with beating benches, with fists to produce music. To get rid of their tiredness, stokers drink in excess and sing in praise of whiskey. One of them grows sentimental and begins to sing of his beloved and home. Yank grow angry, for he does not approve this sentimental viewpoint. I hell with home. Where did you get that tripe? This is home, see. What do you want with home? Proudly, I ran away from mine when I was a kid. On you too glad to beat it, dot was me. Home was lickings for me, that's all. But you can bet your shoot not one ain't never licked me since. Wanter try it any of you? Oh, I guess not. In a more placated but still contemptuous tone. Goyle's waiting for you, huh? Oh, hell, that's all tripe. They don't wait for no one. They did double cross you for a nickel. They are all tarts, get me? Treating rough, that's me. Treat them rough, that's me. To hell with them. Tarts, that's what the whole bunch of them. Young asks the stoker to stop singing, for home is no better than hell. To them, the ship is their home. It fulfills all of their necessities of life. With a sense of pride, he tells them that he left home in his childhood. He got only beating there. Since he left home, nobody could ever beat him. He challenges them to fight him if any of them is willing to beat him. He knows that nobody has this courage. He passes satire on the false sentiment that a girl would be waiting at home. He claims that it is an illusion, for girls wait for none. They are no better than prostitutes. Just for a small coin, they grow eager to betray the old lover. He claims that he always treats them roughly. All of them are faithless enough never to be trusted. Yank's speech encourages Long, another stalker, to express his views. He approves Yank's viewpoint that a ship is like the home to the stalkers. He reminds that Yank regards the ship as hell, where they have to work in adverse circumstances. It too is correct. Here they walk in utmost miseries, but who should be blamed for it? According to the Holy Bible, all are born free and equal, but in practice they find that the rich travel in luxurious cabins of the ship, while the poor workers sweat working hard in the stokehold. They are deprived of fresh air. They have to breathe in coal dust. The capitalists are responsible for the miseries of the labor. Listen here, comrades. Yank there is right. He says this, there's stinking. Ship is our home. A says as home is hell, and he's right. This is hell, comrades, and right enough we will die in it. Ragging, and who's dare blame? I ask here, we ain't. We wasn't born this rotten way. All men are born free and equal. Death's in the bleeding, Bible mateys. But what did they care for the Bible? Damn lazy, blotted swine that travels first cabin. Damn's divons, they dragged us now till we are on the wage slaves in the bowels of a bloody ship, sweating, burning up, eating coal dust. It's damn's to blame the damned capitalist class. But Long is interrupted by hooting voices. Turn it off, shut up, sit down, close the face, damn fool, etc. Yank asks Long to keep silence. He does not approve the idea that the capitalists are responsible in any way for the miseries of the working class. He blames Long for speaking like a socialist leader to popularize the Salvation Army. He asks Long to address a public meeting in a park instead of the stokehold of the ship. According to him, Long is a coward who accuses others for his own suffering. In his opinion, the rich traveling in cabins of the ship have to do nothing with the miseries of stokers. Yanks claims that stokers are better than those rich passengers. One of these stokers is stronger than all of them. But none of them can ever bear to spend a minute in the heat of the stokehold. If he enters, he would grow faint, and a stretcher would be required to take him out. It proves that stokers are superior to the rich travelers. These rich men are no better than a useless load on the ship. Sit down before I knock you down. The Bible, ho. The capitalist class, ho. All nicks on that Salvation Army socialist bull. Get a soap box, hire a hall. Come and be saved, ho. Jerk us to Jesus, ho. Oh, Jeevan. I have listened to lots of guys like you, see. You are all wrong. Wanter know that I think. You ain't no good for no one. You are the bunk. You ain't got no nove. Get me. You are yellow, that's what. Yellow, that's you. Say, what damn slobs in deafest cabin got to do with us? We are better men than they are. Ain't we? Sure. One of us guys could clean up the whole mob with meat. Put one of them down here for one watch in the stokehold. What did happen? They did carry him off on a stretcher. Them boys don't amount to nothing. They are just baggage. Young claims that stokers are superior to the rich passengers traveling in luxurious cabins of the ship, who are like worthless load without any utility. Putting stress on the importance of labor, he asks what the driving force of the ship is. It is certainly the hard work done by stokers. It proves the ship is theirs and they belong to it, while the rich passenger's contribution is nil to the ship. He clarifies that the ship seems to be held to those stokers who have lost their courage. The ship is driven by the force of brave stokers. They make the ship run. They belong to the ship. It does not belong to cowards like Long, who have no spirit to work. Who makes this old tub run? Ain't it us guys? Well then, we belong, don't we? We belong and they don't. That's all. As for this being hell, oh nuts. You've lost your nerve, that's what? This is a man's job, get me? It belongs. It runs this tub. No stiffs need apply. But you are a stiff, see? You are yellow, that's you. Voices with a great heart pride in them. Right, oh, a man's job. Talk is cheap, Long. He never could hold up his end. Devil take him. Yanks, right, we make it go. By God, Yank say right thing. We don't need no one crying over us, making speeches. Throw him out. Yellow, chuck him overboard. I will break his jaw for him. The crowd along, Long, threateningly. Yank asks them not to be violent against Long. He suggests to leave Long alone. He begins to drink again and all drink with him. Paddy does not approve the idea that the stokers belong to the ship for they make it run. He tells about the better days of sailors when Paddy was a young man. Ships then looked very attractive on account of their tall masts and colorful sails. They were sailed by strong men who were called sons of the sea. The sea was like their mother. They looked very handsome with clean skins, bright eyes, straight backs, and broad chests. They faced open nature, filled with adventure. No doubt they were very brave and bold. In fair weather and fresh air, they used to sing sailors' songs. They walked as free men, then they belonged to the ship. Oh, to be back in the fine days of my youth! Oh, Joan! Oh, there was fine, beautiful ships, damn days, clippers with tall masts touching the sky, fine, strong men in them, men that were sons of the sea, as if it was the mother that bore them. Oh, the clear, the clean skins of them, and the clear eyes, the straight backs, and full chests of them. Brave men they was, and bold men surely. Paddy claims that sailors belonged to ships. At that time, in past, but now the situation is otherwise. At that time, sailors were an inseparable part of the ships. They were the inevitable link between the sea and the ship that ran between their manual labor. But now the ships were driven by engines, the stokers feed coal to the furnace of boilers to produce steam. There is black smoke and coal dust everywhere. Stokers are confined to a dark cell devoid of sunlight and fresh air. In these unhealthy conditions, their lungs are choked with coal dust and backs are broken with the action of lifting the shovel to feed coal. It seems they are in the zoo, arrested in a big cage of steel. He passes satire on Yank's plea that they belong to the ship. He points out that people alive can never be the part of an engine. T was them days men belonged to ships, not now. There was them days a ship was part of the sea and a man was part of a ship and the sea joined all together and made it one. Scornfully, is it one with this you did be? Yank black smoke from the funnels, smudging the sea, smudging the decks, the bloody engines pounding and throbbing and shaking, with devil a sight of sun or a breath of clean air, choking our lungs with coal dust, breaking our backs and hurts in the hell of the stokehold, feeding the bloody furnace, feeding our lives along with the coal, I am thinking caged in by steel from a sight of the sky like bloody apes in the zoo. Yank rejects Paddy's viewpoint by saying that an old man knows nothing about the present. His strength and courage are reduced by the growing age. In a way, he is dead by Yank, being young, acts as a man alive. Yank pleads for stokers and enhances their importance by saying that they belong to the ship. They move it, they run it at a high speed. On account of their hard labor, the ship covers the long distance of 25 knots in an hour. Old ship could never ever imagine of such a high speed. Paddy is an old man. He can't work so heavily. He feels confused. Whatever he tells about romantic nights and days, stars and moons, suns and winds, fresh air and fair weather is meaningless in present time when people long for speed and being young. Yank represents that Paddy, an old man, enjoyed himself in rest and dreams. He is outdated. He cannot belong to the ship. Hey, hey, you old harp. Hey, you guys. Say, listen to me. Wait a moment. I gotta talk. See, I belong and he don't. He's dead, but I am living. Listen to me. Sure, I am part of the engines. Listen to me. Sure, I am part of the engines. Why the hell not? They move, don't they? They are speed, ain't they? They smash, throw, don't they? 25 knots a hour. That's going some. That's new stuff that belongs. But him, he's too old. He gets dizzy. Say, listen, all that crazy tripe about nights and days, all that crazy tripe about stars and moons, all that crazy tripe about suns and winds, fresh air and the rest of it. Oh hell, that's all a dope dream. Hitting the pipe of the past, that's what he's doing. He's old and don't belong no more. But me, I am young, I am in the pink, I move with it. Yang clarifies why Paddy regards the ship as hell. He is old and weak. He can work but not heavily. He can't breathe in coal dust and excessive heat of the stockhole. He does not belong to the ship. He belongs to the past. But Yank is a young man. He is not troubled by the engines, the coal dust and the smoke. He does not feel any problem in taking breath in smoke and shallowing coal dust. It gives him energy to work more and more. It nourishes him like food. Being young, he has adapted himself to the excessive heat of the stockhole. He enjoys himself here by thinking that his labor has produced so much of heat. On account of his labor, the ship is producing smoke with a roaring sound. He has become a part of the ship. He feels quite comfortable here. He does not know if there is any world outside the ship. He is devoted to his duty. The engines and the coal and the smoke and all the rest of it. He can't breathe and shallow coal dust, but I can, see? That's fresh air for me. That's food for me. I am new, get me? Hell in the stockhole? Sure, it takes a man to work in hell. Hell, sure, that's my favorite climate. I eat it up. I get fat on it. It's me makes it hot. It's me making it roar. It's me makes it move. Hearing it, Paddy bursts into laughter. It enrages Yank. It amuses Paddy and he begins to sing with good nature. I care for nobody. No, not I. And nobody cares for me. It pleases Yank and he praises Paddy for understanding the truth that there is no need to care for anybody. He asks Paddy to join him in hell, that is stockhole, and eat up the coal dust. Paddy claims that he will do nothing but take rest by drinking, thinking and dreaming. Yank rebukes Paddy for his want of action and turns his back on Paddy scornfully. Scene 1 is over.